God, thank you for this time to come together and to laugh and to have fun and enjoy each other's company and enjoy your presence among us. Help us always to remember any joy that we feel or experiences from you. We thank you. And God, I pray that right now you would open our hearts to receive what you have to say. Pray that you would make our minds and hearts alert and open and protect us from any distraction that Satan would throw at us, even by being distracted from each other. I pray that you would protect us from all of that so that we can hear every little thing you want to say to us, and that you would get all the glory. Will you speak to us now, please, in Jesus' name? Amen. Okay, so the reason I love that game is because it gets you talking really fast. It gets stuff coming out of your mouth, and sometimes before you even have a chance to think about it, like, it'll come out, and it's like, bleh, and then you want to put it back in, you can't, and then you're like, now, what did I just say? Like, why did I just say run thingy? You know, why? And sometimes you feel like you say too much stuff, and it happens a lot of times in real life, that you say things and it comes out real quick, and then you end up feeling foolish. But I want to talk about, from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, how stuff coming out of your mouth too fast can make you seem foolish, and how to make sure we don't do that. So that's why it says up here, it doesn't say that. It says this. You ever heard a lot of stuff coming out of somebody's mouth, and there's lots of words coming out but no content, and you're like, now why are you talking? So, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, let's start in verse 12. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. Okay, did y'all see that? There's two sources of words. What are they? A wise man's mouth and a fool's lips, or a fool's mouth. Those are the two sources of words. And the words that come out of a wise man's mouth, how does it describe them?
Win him favor, one says.
Oh, okay. What does anybody say, anything else? They said win him favor. What?
Gracious,
that the words are gracious, and then that other translation tells you a little bit more about exactly what that means. It's going to win him favor, because if you think of gracious, that's words that are coming out of your mouth that are pleasant for people to listen to and that are helpful. And then if you give words to people that are pleasant and helpful, they're going to in return show you favor and win their approval. So the grace, the good stuff kind of goes, it's a two-way street when wise words are coming out of your mouth. But, and see, there's that word, there's that contrast word. But, on the other hand, there's a fool, and what does it say about his words? It says he's consumed by his own lips. Consumed, like eating or devoured, like he's eaten by his own lips. And I don't know what that might look like. It makes me think of this. That snake is straight up consuming himself. Now, I don't think that this verse is literally talking about eating it, like self-cannibalization. I don't think that's what it's talking about. But what's in mind here is destruction. That you do get destroyed by your own lips. Not by eating, but by the words that come out of your mouth can destroy you. Can have a destructive effect on you. And here's the crazy thing. If you have meaningless, foolish words coming out of your mouth, they don't just hurt other people that hear it, and don't just get on the nerves of everyone else in the room. It actually has negative effect on you. It actually destroys you, that you consume yourself. You destroy yourself by the words that come out of your mouth. And you might hear that and think that's a little over the top and think, really? I don't buy it. How can words come out of your mouth destroy you? And it's as if in the next verse he's saying, well, let me explain. It starts small. Look at verse 13. At the beginning, his words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness. So it's like it starts out slow. Underline that word beginning. And we have another contrast here in this verse. What's the other side of that contrast? Beginning and what else? End. Right. So you can underline beginning and end. And it's as if he's saying from the very beginning to the end, it's foolishness. But more than that, that's actually a literary device called a merism. When it talks about the beginning and the end, both ends of a spectrum, it's a way of saying it's emphasizing it's completely foolish, but it also shows a progression. That in the beginning, his words are folly. And what does that mean?
Foolish.
Yeah, that his words are just foolish. Now that to me sounds kind of like, in the beginning, your words are foolish. It's kind of like a fly that just won't leave you alone. It's kind of a pest. You try to ignore it, and it's like those words are just foolish. But it gets harder to ignore, and it gets worse than that, because it says at the end, they are wicked madness. So not only is it evil, like wicked, but there's also a madness to it, which means that you begin to lose control. You lose control of what comes out of your mouth, and you lose control. Madness is like insanity, and your perception gets distorted, and you don't even realize how foolish the words are that are coming out of your mouth. So it's this progression that if you don't catch it early, it's going to go, it's this downward spiral. If these foolish words come out of your mouth and you don't leave them unchecked, they continue into wicked madness and into destruction. And it's a slippery slope that starts here and then you just slide backwards. Now, how exactly though? I haven't given you anything concrete on how these words coming out of your mouth can actually be destructive. So I want to turn to Proverbs for some help. And I've had some leaders. Y'all stay there in Ecclesiastes though, because I don't want to spend the time flipping. I have a few people that are already there. If you had Proverbs 10, y'all just listen. And if you had Proverbs 10:19, read that and tell us what it means. Who was that? Oh, Lisa. Okay.
When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Basically, if you talk a lot, you're bound to say something that's stupid.
Yeah.
And if you restrain yourself and you think about what you're going to say, or, you know, less words, you can be more wise.
I concur. So y'all see that? Proverbs 10:19, and it's saying that if you just keep talking, it's just a matter of time before you sin. Who's got Proverbs 17:27-28? Is that you, Mike? Okay. Listen to this and see if you can figure out what it means before he says it.
Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Enough said.
Enough said?
That's the explanation. I thought it was weird, but don't talk.
Don't talk. That's his explanation. Don't talk.
What verse is that?
That was Proverbs 17:27-28.
He said not to flip there, though.
I was going to show you. What does it say? Yeah, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. So if you're foolish, if you keep your mouth shut, people won't know. Some of you may have heard this quote before. It's basically based off of that verse from Mark Twain. It's better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you are a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. That's exactly what this proverb just said. That even a fool is thought wise if he keeps his mouth shut. Okay, who had Proverbs 18:2?
I did. That's a fool here. Takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Sounds pretty straightforward, too. But obviously, cares more about sharing his thoughts than learning.
Doesn't want to listen, doesn't want to learn. He wants people to hear what he thinks. Yeah. What might, if that's you, what might people think about you? If all you don't want to listen, you just want to talk about and hear your own, what might people think about you?
That you don't care about anyone.
Yeah? Yeah? Did somebody say arrogant?
Yeah.
Yeah. They might think you're arrogant. They might be right. Okay, who has Proverbs 21:23?
I do.
Okay.
Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So that's basically saying, like, yeah, if you don't say a whole lot and you keep your mouth and your tongue shut, then you'll stay out of trouble from saying anything dumb.
Do y'all remember another passage in James?
Tongue is like...
Ooh, yeah, that too.
Or rudder that steers the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's like this untamable, destructive force. That's a good one. I was thinking about the one that says, be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry.
And that's the reason why you should be slow to speak. Your tongue is stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, hope y'all are getting the point so far. Don't talk so much. Now he's going to zero in on one specific way that a fool's words can be destructive in verse 14. Because we've been kind of generic in talking about how the words are destructive. And now he's going to tell us specifically what he's talking about. Verse 14. And the fool multiplies words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell him what will happen after him? Okay, so what if you say your mouth, the things you say are going to get you into trouble? That could mean a whole lot of different things. But right there at the beginning of that verse, what specifically is he saying not to do?
Exaggerate.
Okay, exaggerate. That's an interesting way to look at it. What do you think? Talk a lot. The multiplies words means don't just talk just to be talking and just let your mouth run. He's specifically saying don't talk too much. Now, sometimes when people talk too much, it's because they're trying to impress somebody. They're trying to win the favor or approval of someone else. And the problem is, that verse told us, how do you win the approval or favor of others? How do you do it? Do you remember? It's not by a whole lot of words. What is it?
Being wise.
It's by wise words coming out of your mouth that are gracious, that are few and far between and selective and wise. But sometimes, whenever we don't have a lot of quality things to say, we just kind of make up for it with a bunch of quantity and just talk, 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 and try to get people's favor. We want people to like us. I can remember right after I became a believer, I'll put this up just real quickly. That's me. That's right after high school. Yes, that's my real hair. It's that long, and it is in braids. And I did tear my sleeve off and put it on my head, and I did wear glasses. And okay, good. No cameras so out. Last time y'all took pictures. Yes, but,
wait.
But you can tell that's a guy who's trying really hard and really, really wants people to like him and really wants attention. And I can remember sitting in Bible studies, sitting in a small group discussion, and somebody would ask a question, and I would think a thought in my head that I just knew was hilarious, and I've got to say it. Because as soon as I do, everyone is going to see how hilarious I am. But the problem is somebody else is talking. So I got to wait. I either interrupt or I wait for them to just take a breath. I don't even care if they're finished. I'm going to wait for them to take a breath, and then I can give my jab, my joke, and everybody can laugh and think, oh, Andy, he's the best, you know. But what I noticed in that waiting time, as it was swelling up, one time I was thinking, why is this such a burning passion inside of me that's swelling up that has to come out? What is going on? And I took a second to examine my own heart, and I desperately wanted the approval of people around me. I desperately wanted people to like me and to think I'm funny. So I would say things more than I had to say, more than I needed to say, more than anybody wanted to hear me say. And I multiplied words because I wanted people to like me. Now, some of you can relate to that. And you might say, no, no, no. But I could ask your small group leader and they would say, yeah, that's them too. Because some of you know what I'm talking about. That whenever it's time to talk, when it's time to talk about real stuff, there's stuff that you just have to get off your chest. And you know you're going to get attention on you and people are going to laugh. But the attention doesn't need to be on you all the time. You don't need to multiply words all the time. Now, some of you, the problem is a little bit different on the reason why you multiply words. Tell me if you can relate to this. You hear that so-and-so said something to so-and-so, and you think, oh my goodness, I can't wait to go tell whoever, so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And you can't wait, and you call or text, or face-to-face is better, so you get there so you can see what's on their face, and you say, guess what she did to him? La, 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 la. And then that moment whenever they turn and go, shut up! Like something about that response just makes you feel so much delight. That buzz from being the one who had the juiciest thing to say, and you get that attention from talking about stuff, and you just keep talking. It's the same thing. You want people to accept you or be excited about you or think that you have something that other people don't have. You want that acceptance. You want that feeling from someone else. So you multiply words. Now, some of you, it's different than that. And I want to look back at this verse. Look, it says, and the fool multiplies words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell him what will happen after him? So this situation in particular, what does it sound like this person is running their mouth about? The future. Do y'all see that? Talking about his future plans. Talking about what he's going to do. And I want you... Some of you know this person. Some of you might be this person. Let me back it up a little bit and think. Think about what you're really good at. Think about what you think you might want to do for a living. Think about what your plans are to get there. And do you talk about those plans a lot? Do you talk about those skills that you have a lot? And you may say, no, I don't do that. Maybe some of you do. But some of you, if you can't relate to it for yourself, you can think of someone. You know someone who's always saying, well, look what I did. I accomplished this, I accomplished this, and I'm going on to do bigger, better things. And you're thinking and planning, multiplying words about his future plans. But the problem is, we have no guarantees under the sun, right? So, look at what James, again, had to say about running your mouth about your future plans. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. So be careful about how much you talk about your future plans. Be careful about how specific you get with your future plans. I love how our elders talk about when we plan stuff, we plan it in pencil. Y'all know why? Why we would say that?
Because oftentimes you got to erase.
Because a pencil has an eraser, right? Because every time I make a plan, I'm saying, Lord, you have complete freedom to change this, and I will trust you. And I will accept it with joy. So look, don't multiply your words. And there's three different ways so far that you can multiply your words. Either trying to be funny, or trying to be the one who always has the scoop, or trying to be the one that impresses people with how good you are and what your plans are and where you're going. But what all of those have in common, all of those have in common is you're trying really hard to impress people. You're trying really hard to get the acceptance of people. And that's what fools do. Fools multiply their words to impress and get the acceptance of the people you go to school with. I want you to start making a habit of examining your own heart. The next time you feel like, I can't wait to tell this person that, or you're sitting in a room and you're waiting for your turn to speak and you can't, you're just itching to say what you're going to say, when you feel that swelling up, ask yourself the question, why? Why do I want to say this so bad? Is it going to bring attention to Jesus, or is it going to bring attention to me? Examine your heart. And the next time you feel that swelling, I want you to ask that question, Lord, am I seeking the acceptance of men and women, of boys and girls? Guys, you don't have to look for your acceptance there. You are already accepted in Jesus Christ. And you don't ever have to impress Him. If you never do an impressive thing from now until the rest of your life, He still loves you like crazy. Unconditionally loves you and desires you and delights in your presence and in your conversations with Him. You already are accepted by the only one who matters. So you don't have to multiply words to impress people. You're already accepted. So what do the wise do? They examine their hearts. They find acceptance, value, and identity in Jesus Christ. And they plan in pencil. Which another way to say that is they trust God's plan. If they change it. If He changes it. We trust Him. Because look, Jesus satisfies more than your future does. Jesus is more satisfying than your plans are. Don't run your mouth about your plans. Don't run your mouth about how great you are to impress people. Rest in Him. And trust in Him. Trusting what He said about you. He said you're accepted. He said He loves you like crazy. He said you don't have to impress anybody. So trust that. Trust that. Trust His heart. So, you don't ever again have to multiply your words. Just multiply your trust. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for loving us. Whenever we catch ourselves trying to impress somebody else, help us to repent and say, God, I'm sorry, that was stupid. I don't have to say anything. I know that I'm accepted and I'm loved, and You're going to send me the friends and the people that like me back that You want me to have as friends. Let me trust in You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.